768 Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 10. And we'll look at verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. In keeping with our evangelistic thrust this month, we've been preaching and teaching on salvation, being saved, how to know you're saved. And it's so important because in this time, I've discovered that there are some saints who love God with all their hearts, but they're not really sure whether or not they're saved according to the word. By tradition, yes, perhaps. By their feelings, yes. But not sure according to the word. And I got news for you. When you're saved according to the word, it's nothing to do with your feelings. It's not how you feel. It's not what you think. It's what God says. Romans 10:13, when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, because everybody in here is already saved and already know that they are saved, I won't be long this morning because this is just going over what you already know. So tell the person next to you, hold on. We won't be long because we know this. Amen, amen. The word says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever, now this is a qualifying word, which literally means everybody and anybody. For whosoever, what? Shall call upon the name of the Lord.
Lord have mercy.
What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? I'm so glad you asked. Because you're going to recognize that this phrase, call upon the name of the Lord, suggests that you are calling God's attention to your need for Him.
All right, sir.
You are saying to the Lord, Lord, help me now. You're saying, Lord, save me now. You're calling on the only name by which salvation can be found, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have a participatory part to play in the process of being saved. You're going to find out that it requires three things of you. First, it requires confession from you. It requires conviction in you. And it requires conversion for you. Confession from you, conviction in you, and conversion for you. Now, the 13th verse says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Do you notice there is no room for doubt? Simple and straight. You call on him, you shall be saved. If you meet certain requirements that come before that. That's why verse 13 comes after 12 and 12 after 11 and 11 after 10 and 10 after 9. So let's go back to verse 9, because Paul says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, your mouth. Now, this is an important step right here, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, your mouth. Can I tell you, mama can't confess for you? Daddy can't confess. Husband, wife, no one can confess for you but you. God wants to hear from your mouth. Come on. That you want to be saved. Others may be praying for you to save. Others may desire for you to be saved. But others cannot speak for you concerning being saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Who am I confessing? Notice it says the Lord Jesus. Jesus is Lord, whether he's yours or not. You're acknowledging that he is Lord over all. And you're acknowledging that Jesus is Savior. So you're saying, Lord over all, who is Savior, I'm calling on. I'm talking to the only one who can save me. It backs up what Peter says in Acts 4:12. When he says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Come on, doctor.
And that name is Jesus. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And connective conjunction, which means when you confess him, you've also got to believe. And believe in thine heart, your heart, that God, his Father, hath raised him from the dead. You've got to believe that on the cross of Christ, Jesus laid his life down. He spoke in the Gospels and said, no man taketh my life. But I lay my life down. Amen. Here's a question. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when he spoke his last word to the Father? Father, into thine hand I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. Were you there when they took him off the cross and Joseph of Arimathea went and begged for his body and put him in a brand new tomb that he had had hewn out for him and his family? No, you weren't there. Well, then how do you know this is true? Because you believe by faith. If every word of God is pure, if every word of God is true, if God said it, then that settles it, whether I believe it or not. His truth is that that will stand when this earth, this world, these heavens shall pass away. His truth will remain. And so we've got to recognize, brothers and sisters, that we must believe in our hearts that God had raised him from the dead. Yes. That resurrection power came from God the Father raising his Son so that he might be able to return to him having finished his work of salvation for mankind. So here it is, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Look at how simple the process is. Why do we complicate it? Why do we make it so difficult? When Jesus went through everything that was most difficult, most problematic, most troublesome, to make it as simple as he possibly could. Verse 10 goes on to tell us, for with the heart man believeth. Here it is now. He's explaining the mystery. Man believeth unto righteousness. What that means is because you believe God's word, God counts it as righteousness for you. You are receiving the righteous word, the righteous will, and the righteous way of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says again, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That miracle takes place unto in that word. Because when you believe with your heart the words that God has said, then righteousness becomes yours positionally. Yes. Now, what does positionally mean? Uh-huh. It means that it is granted to you. You don't deserve it.
All right, doctor.
I said it's granted, it's given to you. You do not deserve it. And you can't say you earned it. Because Isaiah makes clear our righteousness in God's sight is as filthy rags. So we can't say, I was saved, but I was always righteous. We're talking about God's righteousness. Now listen at this. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Here again is the second part of that miracle. And with the what? Here's what happens. When the words you speak aligns up with what God says, those words coming out of your mouth does two things. One, it aligns itself by way of confession. But secondly, it uses those same words to make an announcement in the atmosphere that you belong to the Lord.
Come on, doctor.
Which means you no longer belong to Satan. And you have not said it privately. You've not mumbled it. You've not said it in a closed mouth minded situation. You have declared with your mouth, spoke into the atmosphere so that all heaven and earth and hell can hear you say that you want the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. You have confessed your sins. You are asking him to come into your heart because you believe God raised him from the dead to save you. if he would not have saved anybody else, he came to save you.
Yes, yes.
As wicked as you were, as wrong as you were, as down as you were, he came to save you. That's why you ought to shout when nobody else shouts. That's why you ought to be a witness when nobody else witnesses. You know what God's done for you. You know where God's brought you from. You know what God is to you in your life. If nobody else can say amen to his word, you ought to be the one to say amen, Lord. And so he says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So just as the heart believes unto righteousness, confession is made unto salvation. Those things happen in the spirit realm. Doesn't have a thing to do with your feelings, your emotions, the things that are traditional in ways of coming to the church as in olden time. It has everything to do with God's word,
yes.
Your faith in God's word, your confession of God's word, your conviction, believing in your heart God's word, and then your conversion. You shall be saved. Here's another thing I want to share with you, because after verse 11 comes verse 12.
All right.
For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth on him who? The Lord Jesus. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what?
Believeth
on him,
yes,
shall not what?
Perish,
but have everlasting life. I know you know this, but the person on the side of you might not know this. And it's good to go over it every now and then so that you can be sure that you're sure you didn't miss a thing. And not only did you not miss a thing, but you know how to share this thing with somebody else. How did you get saved? Listen, your story may be different, but the method is still the same. Listen well. So, whosoever believeth on him,
yes,
shall not be ashamed. That's why Paul started off in this book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. He shares his confession, his conviction, and his conversion as a pattern for all of us. Look at what he says in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of who? Gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes.
For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He makes clear this salvation is available to everyone. Everyone. If you don't have it, it's because you don't want it. It's available. He's available. The question is, do you want him in your life? I like this because Paul has made clear, he say, you know, to the Jew first and also to the Greek in that 16th verse. But then he goes on and he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, verse 17, from faith to faith, as the scripture saith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Every day I get up, I thank God for the day he has made. Now, I don't know what's in the day, but what I do know is he's loaded it with benefits. I don't know where he's going to lead me and what he wants me to do, but I told him by faith, you lead me, I'll follow. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. Why? Because I belong to God. I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. You are not your own. Your agenda should be his agenda. But not many of us live by faith. Not many of us trust him by faith. Not many of us believe he'll make a way by faith, open doors by faith, work through us by faith, bless us by faith. Not many of us live by faith. We live by fear. We live by frustrations. We live in our feelings. Somebody hurt our feelings and we get retaliatory and we don't know how to act, or we want to come down on them with the fury of God and want God to treat them like a dog, sick them, God, and all of this kind of stuff. Wait a minute. Jesus said, if the world hates me, know that it hated you before it hated me. And notice what he says. This is John 15 and 18. Verse 19 says, if ye were of the world would love his own. That's a good indication that when the world treats you differently, it's because you are different.
All right, sir.
If the world can't tell you apart from it, check yourself. That bothers me greatly as I grow older in faith and more mature in the things of God. Why so many believers are trying to be like the world, to fit in with the world, because they don't know who they are and they don't know whose they are. This same Paul wrote in the 12th chapter, 2nd verse, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How can I be transformed, Paul? By the renewing of my mind. By the renewing of my mind. That I may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've got to be able to prove that. So I've got to be different to prove that. If I look like the world, walk like the world, talk like the world, dress like the world, be like the world, how can I say I'm different? What are the identifying marks that says I'm different? But when you walk in a room, people ought to see a change in you. Your presence ought to grab attention. Not because you look like a joke. Not like you dress like a clown. Not because you fashion down and all that. But they ought to see in your spirit. You are not like the world. You're the light that shineth in darkness. And so you are different. Different from the world. And my brothers and sisters, the Bible is clear. that we belong to God. When the world is looking for a Savior, they may not see Jesus, but they ought to see Jesus in us. We should be in the very image of Jesus. We should demonstrate, emulate, imitate, follow the principles of Jesus. And listen, he makes clear, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all, that's verse 12, is rich unto all that call upon him. He is rich unto all that call upon him. Lord, save me, a sinner. I need your salvation. And then verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. What this says is, if you don't call God's attention to you, then you don't want what God can do for you. If you're in a room and somebody wants you, what do? They call you. And they call you by name. And you say, hey, you, everybody turn around.
Come on.
Everybody but somebody who know who they are. He ain't talking to me. Who are you?
All right.
But when they say your name, it gets your attention. And calling on the name of the Lord gets his attention. And aren't you glad he's given you the ability to call him up and tell him what you want? The line is never busy. Tell him what you want. If you need your body healed, tell him what you want. If you need your soul saved, tell him what you want. If you need a way made out of no way, tell him what you want.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
Here's an old song that my mama used to sing a long time ago. Listen.